This is CliffCentral.com.
MGMT management and kids. All right, we've got a couple of calls we'll get to in a little bit. You can call us on 0861-555-189. Lots to talk about this morning. What's in the news? Well, let me give you a couple of highlights of the next little while. We'll talk a bit about Mazzotti's home, which was raided. Sheriffs from the High Court have raided cigarette kingpin Adriano Mazzotti's house to help pay his tax debt. You know how much he owes? He owes, let me tell you.
73 million. 33 million.
Gord's closer. Gord wins.
How do you get to a point where you owe?
That's just their note. What they know
that
of.
Much.
33,955,288 rands
that he didn't pay in tax. Keeping in mind, tax is the percentage of what you earn.
Yeah,
and that's what like I don't know if it was Ben or Zia that just said now what they know of. That's like money that he somehow either declared or been caught openly for making. Bear in mind, this is a person who deals in the trade of illegal things that are just by their nature below the counter. Mm. Like, it's against the law to sell imported sharks. So you don't give someone a receipt and put it through your what's it called, Excel accounting? What's the accounting everyone uses?
Your pastel.
You don't put it through pastel when you're importing live sharks.
Your Excel. All right, well, we'll talk about that. We've got a couple of other stories that we want to get to. Bernie Sanders is in the race in America. Who's excited?
Bernie is.
I'm feeling the light singeing.
Bernie is excited.
So Bernie and maybe 3 or 4 really, really old people in some home in California are excited.
I do like Bernie. And I know I'm going to get Bernied by Gareth for that because he's on a bit of a socialist plaque, but I don't know.
I swear, I don't even think Bernie's wife is excited at this prospect.
Looking at him, I'm not sure she's been excited a while. But, I mean, I like Bernie. He seems like a cool dude.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in a second, and I'll tell Gord why that's a stupid point of view.
Cancer. Thanks for telling me why. I can't wait to find out why my opinion's wrong.
Brace yourself, stupid. Coming in hot, honey.
Oh, he called you your full name earlier.
You cancer, know he's serious. Cancer has affected everyone in some way or form, right? You know someone who's been diagnosed with cancer. Everybody has someone in their life who's had to deal with this at some point. Yeah. And there are still so many stigmas around it, so many unknowns. Sonia Booth hosts a series on CliffCentral.com called the Understanding Cancer Podcast Series, along with world-class doctors, oncologists, specialists, and more. They talk about things like cancer in women, men, and children, dealing with cancer financially, and lots of other aspects of the disease. At 9 a.m. today, you can hear about cancers in women. Professor Carol Benn and gynecologist Dr. Trudy Smith share a treasure trove of information. From cancer's impact on fertility and femininity to vaccinations and healthy living to cut cancer risk screenings and more. All 10 episodes available on CliffCentral.com or on the Cliff Central app or wherever you get your podcasts. We're not fussy if you prefer to use Stitcher or Spotify or whatever it is. We're on there as well. Understanding Cancer is brought to you by Discovery. And I'll tell you what, this is probably the best way for you to get information about this disease. Quietly in the privacy of your own home, your own car at your own time. It's really very cool. Said by Sia. Shall we hop straight into that? We didn't get to it in the last hour. So what do you got for us, Sia? Are you ready to regale us with something hugely optimistic and powerful and positive?
Regale us. Okay. I shall regale you away. More than just being inspiring in some way, I think I just wanted to bring up something slightly funny this morning. And what are the chances that this happened? When parents accidentally locked their keys in their car with their infant daughter stuck in the car, guess who saved the day?
The infant daughter?
No, a group of inmates.
Oh.
So, what are the freaking chances? So, you know how in the States they have...
Outmates at that stage, surely.
Yeah, well, God, yes.
What
know how in the States they have inmates who do community service? Sometimes they'll have inmates out and supervise.
Like cleaning the road or whatever.
Cleaning the roads hand in hand.
Outmates, pretty much.
Sure. Gord, I'll make that a term just to make you happy this morning. It seems kind of counterintuitive, but these inmates were working near a parking lot where these parents... parents were so freaked out because they just realized that they've locked their daughter in their car, and their daughter's a year old. So she was already crying inside, freaking out, and they were looking on to this entire situation, and they very politely went up to their supervisor. They're like, yo, look, we're in prison for a reason. We have certain skills. Can we just go and help these people out? Yeah. And actually, lo and behold, the supervisor said, why not? You know, you don't have to crack, you know, you don't have to break into a window. So this all happened under the authority of the deputies from the Pasco County Sheriff's Office. And they supervised this as these five low-risk, non-violent offenders, they've been told, they've been described as, had been repairing some strips under supervision of an officer when the incident occurred. And then with permission from their supervisor, the group of trustees got to work. So the father was just busy trying to soothe the daughter, and these inmates just went straight into it. They opened the SUV door just like a crack of an opening, while another inmate slipped a coat hanger through the crack. And within minutes, the inmates had managed to activate the electronic lock and open the door. And so there's actually cell phone footage of this filmed by the mother of the child. And like, there was a crowd gathered around at this point, and actually the crowd started cheering. So I think, if not, why not? They have the skills, they save the day.
They were utilized well. So it just goes to show that whether inmates or outmates, anyone can be your mate.
Goodbye.
I see myself out.
We're going to hand over Said by Sia to Gord from next week, Wednesday, because he seems to be one that likes to end these things with poetry.
Yeah. I just thought it was beautiful. It could be summed up in a nice, succinct way.
Positivity of a different sense this morning.
So, big stories. We've got to get to Karl Lagerfeld in a minute. I know Sia was very upset.
Guys.
The whole fashion community is hugely upset by the death of Karl Lagerfeld.
He was like real-life Mugatu, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's Mugatu? Let's go straight to him.
How dare you?
He died yesterday. It was something 70-something years old?
85.
Oh, 85. God, he looked good for 85. Under all that hair and those high collars and those gloves. And mind you, if you're old and you wear gloves, you get away with a couple of years because you don't have the liver spots and the wrinkles on the hands. And he wore gloves. He was clever about that. Karl Lagerfeld. So he was the head designer for?
Chanel. I feel like you guys aren't really as emotional as I.
No. Well, I'm upset because he wasn't in the death pool.
When Karl Vodkafeld goes, I'm going to be way more upset about it.
Vodka, not Karl.
At the moment, I'm okay.
Because, Gareth, your response when I put this in our group, you said just as well.
I also thought that a good thing? Like, I mean, fashion is for douches. No offense here, but if you're looking to find out what I must read Shiny Thing Monthly to find out what the most expensive kind of pants this month are and go get those. Holy shit, $25,000 for these pants. Pish tosh. Lagerfeld's got a $29,000 pant coming out next week.
I'm actually not subscribed to that Shiny Things Monthly. Yeah. I'll make sure to update
they
my
do
subscription.
Like, Patek Philippe watches, cars.
Well, Karl Lagerfeld was really, he was just a strange human being. I mean, he always dressed more or less the same way, in black with a white sort of collar, stiff starched collar. He wore a black tie. He sometimes wore a hat. He wore black gloves, driving gloves. Always wore sunglasses.
Yes.
And pretty much the whole way through his life was consistently fashionable. Became the head designer for Chanel, which is no small fashion house. And the guy was one of those front row fashion people. Not that I know a lot about fashion, but he was, if you saw his face.
Know him and can recognize him, you know he's done well.
You'd know who he was. But what I mean by just as well is...
yes, you know, please
someone,
do explain.
It wasn't
yourself.
Someone I cared about, so I wasn't. I was like, "Whew!" Because whenever I see that someone has died, I go, "Oh no, this might be someone I like David Bowie." Or
and for a person who's eloquent for a living, just as well. Yeah. Sum that up perfectly, Gareth. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Just as well it was him, nobody else.
Here's some interesting and odd facts about Karl. So, firstly, you mentioned his age, and that is a thing he always loved to leave up in the air. He didn't exactly like to be specific about how old he was. A lot of people claim that he was born in 1935. Some also say that he was born in 1933, but a representative of his was known to always say that he was born in 1938. So I guess in Carl's world, it was quite fabulous to always...
So he lied about his age.
To never really be known.
This is a good
basically
character.
Basically, he's Shida Freedy of the fashion world.
Okay.
No one knows.
He was known for his iconic white ponytail, and he started growing that back in 1976. That's like one of his trademarks, along with his black aviator shades. And he also had an obsession with Diet Coke. Insiders in his life claim that he would drink up to 10 cans of Diet Coke a day.
That's why he died.
At 85, dude. No. If you make it to 85 drinking that much Diet Coke, I think it's safe to take Diet Coke out of the equation for your cause of death.
He once said in an interview, "I drink Diet Coke from the minute I get up to the minute I go to bed. I can even drink it in the middle of the night. I can sleep. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink tea. I drink nothing else."
Would have made 120 if it wasn't for that goddamn Diet Coke.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a killer, I tell you.
Yeah, he released his own diet book as well.
Yeah, because he was never overweight, the dude.
Well, he did lose about like 42 kgs. Gosh, I love how I say about 42 kgs, because who knows these
could
things.
Could have been 41.
You knew this? You knew this?
42 is a lot, dude.
It is like the early 2000s.
You are noticeably fat if you're
lost
overweight
you,
by
basically.
42
lost
kilos.
Use, yeah?
You're not paunchy if you've got 42 extra kilos.
Hmm. All right,
above
so what
and beyond the ones you need.
Another trademark of his is he carried a fan everywhere he went, and one of those like old school flip it open and fan your fabulosity fans.
Not like an adoring admirer of his work. You mean like a thing to blow him?
God, no. And he was also an avid reader. He actually had a personal library consisting of more than 300,000 books.
Bullshit on reading all of them. Call bullshit on reading
I
all
didn't
of them.
Say he read all of them. I just said he was a great believer or lover.
I really admire
books.
These books that are on my bookshelf. Look how pretty they are.
An odd obsession of his as well are iPods. He owned more than 300 iPods. And they were all
overdoing it.
They were all distinctly themed. So if he was in a particular mood, he would grab one
so
of them.
Didn't anyone ever explain to him a playlist?
Did no one show him cocaine? Because if you're going to spend all your money on some shit you don't need, like that famous Robin Williams skit where he's like, cocaine is God's way of showing you you've got more, you make too much money. Like, rather nail a crocodile to your front door and call it a Lacoste house. Like, you don't need 300 fucking iPods. Give them to friends.
There isn't
that much music.
Here's another kick.
The whole of Spotify can fit on 200.
He would actually store all of these iPods in Louis Vuitton trunks. So, I mean, okay, you have the money if
he had too much.
So you can't see them because they're in luggage.
And then lastly...
No, but seriously, Spotify must have blown his mind. That's what killed him. He discovered Spotify. He's like,
He was saying to Julia, his assistant, Julia, bring me iPod number 444. I'm in the mood for some trance, garage, funk, trap. And then they'd bring it to him and he'd be like, this is the perfect playlist. And he'd be scrolling with the old wheel with those
iPods.
Yes, remember
the wheel. And he'd use
that.
The wheel. And
the wheel was cool.
And he'd go, this is the song I want, Kraftwerk. And then he would basically, when he wanted to change playlists or he was in a certain mood, he'd say, no, bring me iPod 400. No, 23 is the one. No.
Oldies.
Yeah, oldies. As Ben says, he would go on to Spotify eventually and see all of this stuff, like music on demand, and he'd be like,
I've been doing it wrong.
I've been wasting all of my time and
all of the
money
you wasted on it.
Idiot.
What all a right. fabulous life, though. And then lastly, just as a kicker, you should just go and read some of his old interviews, because he was, you know, he did live up to that age where he didn't care about what he was saying anymore. There was one particular interview.
37, which is the age I've reached.
Sure, God. There was one particular interview where he actually called Adele a little too fat. It was like,
great.
Mm. Okay, Carl.
That's great.
So, yeah. And then in one other interview, he also said, I don't do selfies, but other people do. And they want to do selfies with me. But no. Thank God, Sebastian, my assistant, he's mean to the people in the street. Mean and rude. But me, I'm a nice person.
So he had Sebastian say horrible things. Jesus.
This is Sebastian, my dickhead.
Yeah. My hired dickhead.
Yes. Deal with my dickhead. He will take care of your problems. Me, I'm nice. I sympathize, but first you must get through dickhead.
He also said that sweatpants are a sign of defeat. You lost control of your life, so you bought some sweatpants.
I agree. That's fair. One of my ex-girlfriends used to say that too, that those are alcoholic pants. The minute you wear them, you've given up.
Gord is wearing sweatpants.
I'm wearing the dankest sweatpants.
Gord's got complete sweatpants.
But for me, any pants are sweatpants, especially in summer.
Oh, here, do you want to hear what Karl Lagerfeld had to say about the spring-summer 2019 ready-to-wear Chanel show?
Jeez, do I?
It was a song of Florence Welch, who was what water gave to me. What is inspiring, what gives a kind of fresh air in the same time.
He just talked shit, really.
Yeah.
Just talked a lot of shit. Bit of fresh air in the center.
There's no life without water. Huge drops and all the transparent boots and gloves and all that. It was like water.
It was like water. You understand?
I'll be
Did he say something about gloves being like water?
No, he said all this plastic transparent stuff is just like water.
I'll be so disappointed if like a flock of doves don't airlift his casket into wherever his funeral will be held and like have
knit today. You cannot imagine that they are knit. They are dresses. You would never think one second that it's knit. You know? The machines always have changed so much. You can now put stuff in those knitting machines. Was impossible even 5 years ago. Mm. And the tweets, I'm worried they're not tweets. Mm. It has to be 50-50, yeah? Mm-hmm. Because to do only creative stuff nobody wears, it's not the spirit of Chanel. Huh? Chanel is about putting it on your back.
About putting it on your back.
Hmm? Hmm? He corrected a lot. Putting what exactly on your back and from whom?
He's a nervous tick of kind of saying,
It's almost like people who go, you understand, you understand, you understand all the time.
Well, that's because they're worried that you don't understand because they might be talking nonsense.
He's looking for affirmation. Someone's like,
Well, the icon.
I'm dead. Dead now.
Oh.
All right.
No, he didn't die. He just made a grand exit.
I don't know, but I just want to throw this in here because I think it's kind of funny that there's this girl called Shamima Begum who left the UK. She was born in the UK. She decided she wanted to be an ISIS bride. She went over there and now she's got children and she wants to come back to the UK. And the UK Home Office is like, nah, actually, we don't need you. Remember after the Manchester attack, she was also one of the people who said that it was justified. Yeah. She said that the Manchester attack was totally justified because Britain's got foreign policy that is all about destroying the sovereignty of Middle Eastern countries. So now she wants to come back because she's realized it's shit in Pakistan or Iraq or Syria or wherever horrible place she is at the moment. And she's got children suddenly and she wants her British citizenship reissued. I suppose.
Yeah.
And the Home Office has said, no, sorry.
Good.
Hmm. So does anyone have any feelings on that? I'm only too happy.
No, that's it. Good.
No more to say there. 3% of people in South Africa make...
It's just bloody terroristing, guys, for a few years.
Yeah, it's just terrorist.
I was just plotting the downfall of this country and the murder of its citizens, and now I've got kids, and they don't do free school care there for kids, or Batman-themed lunchboxes. So come on. Don't be dicks.
I was just on the gap year doing a bit of terrorizing.
I just joined your enemy military organization for no good reason except fuck you. And now I've got kids. Kids aren't allowed there. You have to turn them into little death machines. And my kids are quite like. I'm not strapping bombs to them.
Death machines. There we go. Gord actually channeling her spirit.
I think I might have been quoting an exact speech she made.
Okay. All right, apparently only 3% of South Africans make more than 30,000 rand a month.
Wow.
Only 3% of South Africans make more than 30,000 rand a month. Just think about that for a second. That is the state's problem. There are not enough rich people to tax heavily to fund their schemes. And the policies that they have in place at the moment are not conducive to increasing the number of wealthy people. So with such a small percentage of the population making money in excess of 30,000 rand a month, there just isn't enough to go round. So government either have to cut their costs right down or implement policies which will improve the economy, which will grow the number of wealthy people, or, and by the way, all of these are and ors, not just ors, or they have to find ways of broadening the tax base. In other words, taxing everybody more. So VAT will have to go up to 20% or whatever it might be.
Or cut cabinet.
Well, that's what I said in the first one. Cut government expenditure.
That's what it really comes down to, Gareth, unfortunately.
To be so hysterical if they announced that they now had to have a smaller cabinet and then everyone that works for the government had to show that they reduced the size of their cabinet at home.
Gord means an actual cabinet. Yeah. Like God.
We're doing cabinet reductions across the government.
Okay.
No.
So,
See, Gareth tried so hard to be judgy and have that Gord your joke.
So Gord is excited about Bernie Sanders running for president.
I just like that his name's Bernie, and he seems to dig being nice to everyone.
So, okay,
that's some socialist bullshit.
But that's no real reason to vote for him, right?
Good thing I can't vote in the US elections.
No, I know, but if you were, you wouldn't take him seriously.
I'd just vote Democrat because they're not Republican. And I only don't like the Republicans because they've got the gumption to put up with Donald Trump as a candidate because of celebrity.
Because Donald Trump's such an evil man, hey?
He's a total piece of shit.
Right. Okay.
Together, you and I and our 2016 campaign began the political revolution. Now it is time to complete that revolution and implement the vision that we fought for.
Bernie Sanders.
Did it come with house music? Or I am. Did that get added?
No. They added that after.
Oh, I was going to say, I am here for that music.
Bernie Sanders is running for president. He's very excited, and he wants you to know that he is going to tax the 1%,
which is why I brought up that thing about 3% of South Africans earning over 30,000 rand a month. There, if you taxed all the rich people at maximum, you would not have enough money to pay for the things that Bernie wants to have, like Medicare for all, Medicaid for all, the ability for everybody in America to have an unemployment grant if they don't have a job, you know, that kind of thing. Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president. This is what he said on Twitter. I am asking you to join me today as part of an unprecedented and historic grassroots campaign that will...
Old people sometimes fall asleep in the middle of a sentence.
Will they give more money to NASA? Trump gave more money to NASA. Well, Trump actually argued against it, but cabinet thingy, White House, overall, whatever, gave more money to NASA.
You want NASA to have more funding?
Yeah, they have for the first...
give Trump credit. He has.
He was against it, but they did it without him. But they have the most money allocated to them relative to inflation since 1996, which is pretty exciting.
So, what are you hoping they'll find, Gord? Another planet?
No, I just love space exploration. I think it's necessary. I think it's important for inspiration for the human race. I mean, they say because of the Cold War that the moon missions were just this massive, like, gluttonous, enormous, almost incomprehensible amount of money. I mean, it was billions then. But the amount of money from the things they were forced to invent and patent in order to get that to work has made the money back for the economy. I mean, just nylon, the kinds of pens they had to develop because, no, they didn't send a pencil. The microwave oven comes from the use of microwave cooking facilities. It was too big of a thing to commercially use. So
No, they're big advantages.
It makes money. And also the uptake in the 5 years prior and the 5 years after the moon missions, the uptake of science-based subjects at school is never in the history of America before since been higher. So that's why we have Silicon Valley now. Right. Those kids saw spaceships and went, fuck, I love science, and now we have Apple computers.
Right.
Look at you.
And now no one cares about that shit because it's not rifles, guns, or marijuana.
Well, Bernie is big on socialism. He's said for the longest time he believes that the government should help everybody. Everybody should be equal. And these are things that sound good in practice, but he doesn't like it when you bring up Venezuela. And there are videos of Bernie online. If you look carefully, you'll find videos of him in no shirt. He's shirtless, and he's singing the USSR anthem because he was a big fan. I know, it's gross, right? Singing the USSR anthem. And I'm going to play for you in a second his own response to everybody criticizing socialism, which I think I'm curious to hear, aren't you? Yeah. Let's go to the phones first.
So curious.
Good morning.
Oh, good. How are you doing?
What's up?
How's everyone? just listening to Gordon with the space exploration stuff. I watched, sorry, it's Neil speaking.
Yeah, Neil.
I watched a documentary on Netflix with these bunch of idiots with the flat earthers.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday, dude. Literally yesterday.
What the fuck are these people on? What the fucking planet are they from?
Well, a flat one, apparently. Yeah, no, I can't. Didn't you think that the, like, heroic figurehead, the guy and the girl, the lady was pretty damn hot, though?
Yeah, the ginger chick.
Yeah.
And I'm a ginger myself, dude. You gotta love them.
No, but she was a particularly hot ginger, not one of the, like, straw-haired mingers. I mean, but dude, honestly, like, I couldn't believe it. But there were some people they interviewed that were, like, psychologists and whatever, trying to explain the phenomenon. And it's just confirmation bias. It's like you hear there's a thing you don't understand, like the physics of a round planet, which is there to learn if you want to, but it's hard or intimidating. So you don't learn it either because it's you don't stumble across the information or because it's too hard to understand. So you have this gap in your knowledge, and something interesting, provocative, it feels like you're on the inside of knowledge no one else has, comes along and someone fills in the gap. So confirmation bias, like instead of trying to prove what's happened and being willing to be proven wrong if what you thought turns out not to be the case, you believe something and then go find evidence that seems to prove it. It's now people feel like they're on the inside of something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Gord's articulated that pretty well. I mean, it's basically wanting to be special.
Yeah.
Well, I just, but I mean, eventually it looks like, what is his name, Sergeant, Mark Sergeant.
That's the guy. Sergeant. He's like the celebrity hero. Like, he's the originator sort of guy. I don't know what you would compare him to. No, he's like the first, he's the oak that made name and turned this thing mainstream.
All right, well, thanks, Neil.
No, I mean, the fact is, end of story, but he's like riding it out now with his YouTube channel, put it that
way.
Is
this any different to those pastors who feed people petrol and who take 20% of your money?
Anyway, cool guys, thanks for the show.
Yeah, what a crap documentary, but I'm glad you watched it, dude, it was funny.
Yeah, it's the same. There are incredulous and gullible people everywhere, and if you can win enough of them over, you can live a very happy life. Of course, their lives don't get better because you're misleading them and you're taking their money.
But they made a point that in some way their lives do get better because now they have these meetups, they have these gatherings, you become a member, and then they've done this thing where now the different flat earth organizations are trying to like unite under one banner because there's infighting. Some people believe that the edge is an ice wall. Other people believe the ice wall is in the center, separating the outer continents and the inner ones. Like now they're fighting about the model of the flat earth. And so they're trying to unite them. But they have bribes and stuff. So one of the psychologists just quickly, one of the psychologists was saying, you know, now it's a thing where you were isolated and alone and didn't have a thing to belong to and you kind of had a small sort of social life with nothing to unite you to your friends in terms of just having friends that are just relationships that are rewarding.
Right.
Now you're part of the society. They notice if you didn't come. They invite you to things. So now if you change your mind and go, oh my God, this is bullshit. It's been bullshit all along. You're not only giving up a belief that you hold dear, you're giving up your whole social community. They won't keep being your friend.
Of course not.
Hey guys, I think that is bullshit. I'm a round earth person. But now because Gord, I read a science book, but I'm still coming to the Braai. No, you're not.
But this is the whole problem with any of those organizations, whether it's a religious one or it's one that's based on political stuff or whatever it is. I mean, people in football clubs are the same. It's such a feeling of belonging, and humans are so desperate to belong that if you take that away from them, it breaks their heart. They'd rather carry on to believe in something that's nonsense than to stop and lose out on all those social connections.
Yeah, and they're also united by like, we have them. They don't just feel like a group. They feel like a superior group. Yeah, like we have the knowledge group. Yeah. If I were to stop supporting Manchester United, which wouldn't happen, but if I was to do it, my friends in my supporters group would still be very happy to see me.
Okay.
Just not at the game maybe, but very happy for the rest of life.
Carl has some feedback for you, Gord. Carl, who listens to us, says, can I just say that a half-assed apology for being late is simply not good enough from young Gordon? Wednesdays are Gord days. This skipping Wednesdays and being late must end. I think I might have a touch of autism because when my schedule breaks, it ruins my day. Kind regards, Carl DeSantis.
Sorry, Carl, but it is. I take this hobby very seriously, and will apply my, to the best of my ability to not let you down anymore. As for missing it last week, it's work. There's nothing I can do. I got to earn a living, so sometimes
explanation's worse than the previous one. Yeah. Ben, over to you. Speaking of space exploration, Ben made a comment last week. This is from Quentin. That sounded like he doesn't believe the moon landing really happened. Ben, please clarify. Cheers, Quentin. Conspiracy theory.
Does Ben, do you believe or not believe?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they went there. But it's just a funny topic because it's one of those conspiracy theories that never dies of how, like, they shot this thing in, like, a parking lot in Los Angeles.
Using high-definition cameras that were only invented in 2005 or 6 that could not possibly have taken false pictures at that resolution. Anyway.
Yeah, Quentin, I didn't mean anything by it. Every now and again I have some throwaway jokes to add texture. I won't live or die by the moon landing. I'll fight you on other things, but no, it was just a throwaway joke.
It would be harder using the technology that they had at that time, never mind getting 3,000 directly involved and another 5,000 indirectly involved scientists, all to keep shtum and all to go along with the same story. Yeah. And now the lunar orbiter actually recently, and when I say recently, I saw yesterday, new photos from the lunar orbiter have been taken of the Mars landing sites and some of the equipment that was left there. And these photos were released to the public yesterday, and the Chinese exploration will also, no doubt, they're there now.
Well, there's one way to check. You can go get the flag off the moon.
Yeah, well, they say that there was a flag put on the moon every time. There's an interesting story about this. There are still flags on the moon, but there were 13 left on the moon, and about half of them didn't survive the takeoff of the exit vehicle. It was ceremonially put there. They also had a little dingy at the top of the moon, a flag to try and make it stand up a bit more straight. But to those people who were like, the wind, the moon is lightly flapping, and there's no wind on the moon, and the flag is lightly flapping, and there's no wind on the moon. It's like if you straighten and flap a flag on the moon, it will continue to straighten and flap and very, very slowly sag over years.
I don't know how that works, but yes,
kinetic energy is preserved in the flag, and the flag has nothing to pull it down to gravity it toward the moon.
See, like this again, I find it funny that people will debate this to death, but I think everyone should realize that it's true because Buzz Aldrin punch that guy in the face.
Yeah.
And that was the best part of this whole conspiracy theory.
And because it would literally have been harder to fake than to do. And that's often the case with scientific conspiracy theories. Is this harder for the Illuminati to cover up with everybody? It's like Big Pharma. I decide when I'm 5, one day I desperately want to be a doctor. I decide when I'm 11, I want to be an oncology doctor. I study, I get my doctorate, then my professorship, then I become a senior researcher at Pfizer, then I discover the cure for cancer, and they're like, don't publish it, and you're like, anything you want, boss, how's a 10% raise? Like, no, they'll go, fuck you, screw my non-disclosure agreement, put me in jail if you want to, open source internet, here's the cure. Bearing in mind cancer is a family of diseases, there's no one cure, there'd be cures for different kinds.
Yeah.
Here's leukemia, solved. Take 10 of these, you're fixed. Like, cool. Oh, you can't release that because we're the satanic Big Pharma. And then there's this whole thing of like, Big Pharma doesn't make money making people better. It makes money keeping people sick. Well, what about big insurance, which is also a billions and billions of dollar industries? They make money from you not being sick. So which Illuminati organization is winning? The billions and billions of dollars industry of health insurance or the billions and billions of dollars industry of medicine that makes you sick?
I want you to debunk one big conspiracy every week for the next 6, can we?
Dude,
please.
I'm sure
it'll
there
be so
are.
Much fun.
I'm
just
sure
the,
there
just
are.
The moon and
I'm
big
sure
Pharma
there are
good.
Conspiracies that are actually true, but you'll find, in my estimation, it will be the simpler ones that are more basic, like they knew there was asbestos in the exhaust fumes of this car and they just kept it shtum for a while. That's the kind of conspiracy that's real. A small corporate thing. Like a big pharma company, because they are companies for profit. No one's denying that. But they had a cure they believed worked. Then they find out that it like can possibly in 1% of people give arthritis to clear your sinuses. And they didn't say anything because they figured, hey, shit, let's try still keep selling this med.
My favorite new one is the anti-vaxxers. I mean, these are some crazy,
that is the most unbelievably idiotic. And the anecdotal evidence, it's like I started my kid on vaccines when it was 2.5, and when it was 3.5, it nearly died of severe brachial pneumonia. It's like, people get brachial pneumonia.
Yeah.
Like anything happened within a 2-year period of the child getting...
Must be the vaccine.
It's called a vaccine injury. So then there's this news site. By the way, the
leader of this movement is Jenny McCarthy, who's most well known for
titties.
Yeah.
I get my scientific information that no one's researched, that I don't have to go and verify, that's never been peer reviewed, from the woman who wore a bikini in Date Life on MTV. Right. Screw your PhDs. And it's like a vaccine injury, it's called. It's like also autism has been linked to so many things. Never one case ever proven to be related. So it's like, you're unfortunate, this is horrible shit, but your kid gets autism. You usually start being able to monitor the signs of it. Like you don't always, it's harder to notice when they're very little. So when they start having learning and developmental issues at like 2.5, 3.5, 4, mm-hmm. that's when you start to pick up, oh shit, something's not right here. And it's also give or take the time you have your vaccines. So, you know, if vaccines are less effective if delivered later, but if vaccines were given to kids when they're 5 or 6, then your kid would already be sort of known to be autistic. It's just, it's correlatory and not causative. It fucking drives me insane.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to drive you even more insane. And we do have to get to the Blockchain Africa conference, which we're doing with a media partner for. I'll tell you about that in a second. But here is Mark Zuckerberg's wife, Priscilla Chan, talking about how she and her husband, Mark Zuckerberg, the evil lizard king, don't
sideways blinking.
Have political ambitions. Now, do we believe them?
Not at all.
Listen to her. Let's listen first, and then we can decide.
Do you have political ambitions?
No.
No.
I don't even want to sit here to talk to you.
Oh, Garrett.
Shame, poor interview. I mean, how do you respond to that?
Slash did that to me once.
Does Mark have
drop.
Political ambitions?
No. Not for our family.
I don't believe her.
Well, actually, maybe...
She also seems evil.
Maybe she's telling the truth, but then he's the one that has all these things, and she doesn't even see him during the day.
Why would Mark tell the truth to her, since he doesn't to anyone else?
Exactly.
Everything Facebook does is a conspiracy.
I mean, this is the guy who literally speaks with forked tongue.
Goddamn these tongue. People whose free service that you choose to use so that you can go out to complain about it should do what they want with their privately owned business.
We were talking about Tarzan earlier, Ben, and Catherine says, have you heard about the real South African Tarzan? You can check out a guy called Davit Du Toit, particularly his Tarzan movies on YouTube. We watched some crappy American documentary called Eccentrics, and he appeared on there, along with a guy who believed that he was a mermaid.
A guy believed that Davit Du Toit was a mermaid, or a guy that believed that he himself, that climbs and swings the trees, I'm telling you he's a goddamn mermaid.
How is this guy not The Bachelor?
Yeah. Have you watched The Bachelor, Gord?
The Butchelor? No, I haven't. I've spared myself. I saw a clip of it, and I was like, well, this will retard me.
You've got it, Gord. We're all doing it this year.
The Butchelor.
Gord, you are not living.
I don't
living.
Have access to that kind of television.
Don't worry.
I live in the new century. I do not need DSTV.
I don't have access to that.
We'll have a viewing party.
I've got Netflix. I've got digital access to all the sport that I want. I can torrent download anything that's not fairly. I pay for what's made legally available to me, and anything that, because of bureaucratic bullshit, isn't, I download. Okay. Offer it to me at a reasonable service, I'll pay for it. And I just don't want DSTV in my life purely because of how fucking appalling the advertising on there is.
Well, Mnet have put the first full episode on YouTube.
Yes, on YouTube.
I will watch it in that case.
Yes.
Mnet
but
on
I
YouTube
have seen
so
little
good.
Promotional clips
no,
for it.
That doesn't do it justice.
No. I will watch the first episode of The Butchelor.
I want to talk about how Bill Gates spends his money, because we just mentioned Zuckerberg and how he's allowed to spend his money however he likes, even if it is to start a lizard conspiracy against humanity.
To finish a lizard conspiracy against humanity.
Exactly. How about Bill Gates? What does he do with his money? Sia, do you know?
You're the second richest person in the world with a casual and cool net worth of $95 billion.
Sure.
Yeah. Just understand that his net worth, like, allows him, if you were to spend $1 million a day, it would take him 245 years to spend all of his fortune.
Yes, yes, I would take that on. I would take
that's
that
a real
on.
Challenge. That's a challenge.
You know,
a
how
nice
many you know how many iPods you have to put into luggage to spend that?
Louis Vuitton luggage, that
diamond
is.
Diamond encrusted Louis Vuitton luggage.
200 years he couldn't spend all his money if he spent
245 years. That's how long it would take him to spend all
I
of
would
his
have a team
money
of
right
whim
now.
Guys and yeah. a professional dickhead.
Well, think about this. If he spends $1 billion a year, he's already in his 60s.
Yeah, he'll be well at you. But I mean, when you could cryogenically, I mean, with $1 billion a year, you could live
a long time.
Just kidnap some young, healthy, but poor kid off the streets of somewhere
and
third world.
Harvesting
and
organs.
Keep implanting your consciousness into his mind, knowing that with each copy there's a slight deterioration. So Bill Gates 6 in like the year 2000 in the 2700s is like this evil, corrupt, not right Bill Gates who just wants to die but can't.
Yeah, because they'll beat the copy will deteriorate
sometimes.
Yeah. Each time, little CRISPR problems, small ones initially undetectable, and later on like highly evil, corrupted, and he only wants his death but can't achieve it. The irony of Bill Gates's immortality.
Bill Gates number 6.
But he uses his 600 years of life knowledge and his innate scientific prowess that got him there in the first place to perfect time travel, goes back in time, uninvents Windows, and plunges the world into a Stone Age. The world ends 30 years ago when Bill Gates comes back and uninvents computers.
You should write a book.
The way your mind works is quite creepy.
How it doesn't work.
So what does he do with his money?
So he's been a billionaire since 31. He's history's youngest billionaire at the time. And even though he kind of is this cool, calm, and collected guy, he has a few nice ways where he spends, in which he spends his money. So he has a private jet worth 552 million rands, the Bombardier BD-700 Global Express, which can seat up to 19 people.
It's got bombs.
It's called Bombardier, Ben.
Why would you call it that? Why would you have a private plane called the Machine Gunnier if it doesn't have machine guns?
Ask Bill Gates, not me. I'm just reporting on this.
So he's got his own, how many, 19 passengers?
It can seat up to 19 passengers.
That's a, you know, you can take your family and a few friends.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good party.
Have a party up in there.
550 million rand. I want more than 19. Well, I want 119.
Well, go and make your own billions, Gordon, yes. And then come back to us with the floor plan of your
It'd
plane.
It'd be first class, business class, and hose.
Bill Gates has a bunch of different properties.
How big back would each Bill section Gates. Be? First
no,
class would be?
7.
You and 6 people.
Yeah, business class, 20.
Okay, who would those be?
Those be like mates of mates, second tier mates, my whim guys.
Second tier
mates. My whim guys, okay. My professional dickheads, a bit of security, like some hangers on. Like, for example, the band I was taking with me to Jewel all the time. So Slipknot would sit there.
Oh, normal.
And then in, there'd be about 100 hoes and ho-like entertainment.
Ho-like entertainment.
Yeah.
Would you okay. have, what kind of entertainment?
Mostly hoes.
All right, you've explained yourself very well. Carry on.
That encapsulates it quite well. His primary residence is in Washington,
yeah,
and
Seattle.
It is built on a lot which he bought for $2 million back in 1988, and it took him 7 years to complete the entire property. Well, it also cost him 870 million rands to build his ideal home now. The home itself is now worth 1 billion rands today.
If you look at pictures, you can actually find pictures and descriptions of the house. It's a very high-tech home. It's all all smart home, you know, so he can clap twice and the lights are at a certain certain dimness. You can get the temperature of the room up or down by speaking to a computer. Everything's controlled. The doors close on command.
You say, kill mosquito, and lasers track it and destroy it with a tiny blast that's fatal to a mosquito but doesn't harm a person.
There's actually 1 million South African rands worth of computer screens around this house, which control everything.
Yeah, and he's got art that comes up on these screens.
Screens don't probably control everything. They probably just display hidden computers that do that. Just saying.
Well, Gareth, you mentioned the art. They're actually different devices worth 2 million rands that display different paintings and photographs on screens, because he actually is quite interested in a lot of art. He even has one piece worth $36 million mm-hmm. that he bought back in 1988. He even has Leonardo da Vinci manuscript, an original, that he bought at an auction for $30 million.
See, I'd love that. That's what I would do with money. Yeah. I'd just collect interesting stuff.
I'd buy space rocks.
Mm.
Mars rocks, man.
Mars
rocks. They're much more common on Earth than originally thought, but a tiny, tiny little one can cost you like $1,000 to $5,000 for a little chip of a piece.
And for you, that's art. You want to look at it.
But you get ones that are like rugby ball sized and they go for millions, and I would kill for a chunk of Mars, man. I'm so fascinated by Mars. But the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is there any mention of that in that story?
Well, yes, the giving is one part, but I think it's actually interesting to know.
I mean, he's a philanthropist of note.
Yeah,
and he got Warren Buffett to give over.
He and Warren Buffett are the single biggest philanthropists in human history already, and they intend to give away all of their fortune with a small little bit left for the kids. Now, kids will get like a billion maybe.
No, he's actually leaving $10 million to his kids.
Is that it?
Only 10.
Yeah, but Schnorrer, I mean, he could have left them a little bit more.
Yeah, but for the likes, he's already spent $100 million with the Dangote Foundation to eliminate malnutrition in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they've also given away $1.6 billion in scholarships around the world. And he's also committed like $2.5 billion to vaccinations around the world as well.
Vaccinations!
So yes, he's a nice person.
Oh, but he's not as smart as Jenny McCarthy.
No.
If Bill Gates says vaccinate and Jenny says don't, I think it's a 50-50. They should have a pitched battle.
Look, the guy has a very balanced life. Let's put it that way.
Gwyneth Paltrow's on Jenny's side as well. So take that, Bill. You and Warren Buffett versus Jenny and Gwyneth. Get it on. Let's see who really knows about vaccinations. My kid had a vaccination 2 weeks later, broke his leg. Therefore, vaccinations cause broken legs. Fucking idiot. You also had one kid got a vaccination and won the national spelling bee 2 months later. Does vaccination cause spelling? Fucking moron. Problem is, it kills other people's kids.
Gord, I feel like you're mincing your words. Anything else you'd like to say about
mincing mincing anti-vaxxers would be better.
I apologize to everybody for bringing
triggering Gord.
Anti-vaxxers into the conversation this morning, because Gord was fine. He was in a very good mood.
Up until that point. Clearly never earth, mentioned the
between
V-word.
Flat earthers and anti-vaxxers and Liverpool supporters, we need hydrogen bombs to go off in every major centre on earth immediately.
Wait, what did Liverpool supporters do to you?
Supported Liverpool, man.
All right, well, while we're talking about things happening in major centres, guess how much chicken the world produced in 1960 as opposed to now?
13 tons to 3,000 tons.
So only 2 million tons of chicken in 1960. It's worldwide. More than you said, though, Ben.
Yeah.
That is
worldwide. In 1960, there were 2 million tons of chicken being produced. In 2018, the world has produced
2 billion.
102 million tons of chicken. So we've been able to, by an entire order of magnitude, increase the amount of chicken 51 times more than 58 years ago.
Would you argue that that's success and thriving for the chicken species and their conquest of Earth?
Well, yes.
Or would you say that they've been taken out of minority enslavement and made a major player in the ecosystem? Or would you argue that they've been turned into an even more enslaved slave race? Because for me, every chicken dies a hero.
Every chicken.
So here's the deal. Is that I asked Professor Lee Berger when he came in here. He's the guy.
Lee Chicken Berger or Lee?
He's the man who discovered Australopithecus sediba and Homo naledi. He's a paleoanthropologist. And I asked him from an evolutionary.
They're still searching for Hetero naledi, right? Which you would have thought would be a bit more prevalent in terms of successful breeding. But I mean, Homo naledi did the cave paintings and they were fucking fabulous. I broke Gareth.
said, I can't do it anymore. All right, so he said basically that in evolutionary terms, the chicken is the second most successful species on the planet. Just in terms of population.
And the first is the egg.
All right, don't worry, we'll edit this out in the podcast. All right. So
Berger said, what about the chicken?
God, I don't feel this is an appropriate place for us to talk about science.
No, please, can we? It's the most fun I've ever had with my pants on.
So just in terms of population numbers, the chicken is the most successful species, second to humans. And we're eating so many of them. Chickens produce most of the world's protein, right, in terms of what's available to poor people. 102 million tons of chicken. That's absolutely incredible. We should be very proud of ourselves.
Globally or just...
Globally. Yeah.
So basically, they're the second most prevalent creature. We're the first most successful creature, and it's essentially a war, and we're winning.
Well, we eat them.
Well, of course we do, because they don't, so they don't eat us. You know how much damage 102 billion chickens can do if you set them all on a small community at once? The Boko Haram chickens will have you. And it's like people are like, they're enslaved, they live in farms, they should be running free. Okay, cool. Take 1,000 chickens, release them in the Kruger Park and watch.
Yeah, you think they'll take over?
They're not going to. A ground hornbill will beat them up just for looking stupid.
All right, so here's something interesting. We talk about these rich people, Bill Gates, that Sia told us how he spends his money. So you are richer in many ways than the richest person in the world in 1916, John D. Rockefeller, right? John D. Rockefeller was worth billions. Even in those days, money, he was worth a lot. So in 1916, though, no matter how rich you were, you wouldn't have had air conditioning, TV, smartphones, the internet, timely public transportation, contact lenses, international food, antibiotics, effective dental care.
Did you have anesthetic?
They didn't have anesthetics.
Fuck me.
They didn't have that's a high likelihood of surviving infancy.
No, so no anesthetics is like, I did an article with a doctor once about shit that can kill you and scary diseases and whatever. And I asked him if the world ended, so to speak, what would the five things that, like, if humanity needed to cling to medical advances, what were the five things that would be most important? And the first one he said was anesthetic. To have your shit sawn off or something removed out of you while you're not able to be put to sleep and have to feel the whole thing. That was life for all of humankind until a couple of weeks ago in, 1916?
Yeah, then they suddenly discovered that they were proper, you know, seriously effective.
Jenny McCarthy would have stopped
it. Aesthetics.
Burger?
Just by the way, you know, Gord, you always give Donald Trump a hard time. You think he's the most evil man in the world. Well,
I didn't say that. I just think he's a dickhead.
Well, here, the Trump administration has launched a global campaign to end the criminalization of homosexuality in dozens of nations where it's still illegal to be gay. And they are going to be aimed at part in denouncing Iran over its human rights record, but they're looking to make it possible for people all over the world who are gay to stop being put to death for being gay. I think that's honorable.
That's an atrocity, no matter how you shape it. And so
isn't that honorable?
Yeah, good job for doing the honorable
thing. All those people
who
say that this is an administration of just hate, and they hate and hate and hate, and you hear it in all the mainstream media, and you hear it from all the people on the left, they're like, hate, 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 the Donald Trump is such a hateful person, hate, hate, hate.
Probably just because his favorite pornos have lesbian action in them.
Well, that's generous of you, Gord.
No, I think that is great, though. But for me, it's an obvious thing that should have been done forever ago. I still think Donald Trump's a dickhead. But good work on that one, and the NASA thing that he tried to stop but went through anyway.
Well, you know what? It's not something that was put on the table by any former administration. So I think, you know, credit where it's due. Let's see how far this goes. But certainly it doesn't give you any space to call yourself evil if you're going to try and do something that's genuinely good like this. By the way, Julius Malema responded to Jacques Poe. You know, Jacques Poe is the guy who wrote that book.
Yeah, great journalist also. for many, many years prior.
The president's keepers. He did an article in Daily Maverick in December 2018 about Adriana Mazzotti's tax affairs. He then said that since 2014, I have been tax compliant. That's Adriana Mazzotti, right? You're unable to support scandalous remarks, and now he's about to lose his Hyde Park villa. His neighbor, Julius Malema, is going to be a lonely man. Julius responded to that by saying, you can go and fuck yourself.
Oh?
On Twitter. So there's something going on. Julius is extremely sensitive about this Mazzotti thing.
Well, does he live next door? Because he lives in Hyde Park.
His wife does, yeah.
Julius lives in Hyde Park. He's got a nice house.
Who do you think paid for it? You think Julius paid for it?
No.
Yeah. So there we go. And by the way, while we're talking about Trump being all for LGBT rights, let's not forget that he was the first ever person to run for election openly supporting gay marriage. Even Barack Obama, when he ran in both of his terms, was not openly in support of gay marriage. He said, there must be some kind of marriage equality, but marriage is just between a man and a woman.
Screw you, Obama.
So let's just remember that.
It was quite a bummer.
So,
God,
maybe as a result of things changing,
yeah,
and you just you're around there at the right time. But really, I think that that's also worth taking into consideration.
Yeah, total coincidence that there's been a massive grassroots social media movement about that for like the years. It was one of the biggest social issues on the internet community for like. Round about that time. Like if people were massively huge on like fighting for the rights of left-handed banana-tarians,
you'll say
the next president might mention they were for that, but yeah. I do think credit where it's due. That was a non-dickhead thing for a generally dickheady guy to do.
Okay.
All right, one other quick thing, and this is a compliment to the mayor of Johannesburg. I know Ben's a fan of his too. The city of Joburg has created over 110,000 jobs in the past year. That is more than the entire national government have been able to do in 20.
Hmm.
What sort of jobs? They're just like hire more people to do buildy things and fixy things.
They're buildy and fixy things, I suppose is a good way to put it.
Well, this was released by StatsSA early yesterday, and they said this is in stark contrast to the 200,000 jobs lost at the hands of the previous administration over their five-year term. And then importantly, the city, this is the city of Joburg, outperformed both the country and the Gauteng province. So sadly, South Africa saw a net loss of 132,000 jobs year on year, increasing the expanded unemployment rate by 0.7%. Gauteng, as a province, saw a marginal decrease of 0.1% in the expanded unemployment rate, with a net increase of 92,000 jobs over the same period.
So, again, I'm going to say this, and it's going to annoy people, but if Herman Mashaba were in charge of the DA, I think it would be a better position as a political party, and I think it would also be in a more favorable position from an election point of view. I think that Herman Mashaba is proving that he has the business acumen to not only run the city of Johannesburg better, I mean, turning a 200,000 rand job deficit into a 100,000 odd job
Growth-a-sit.
That's what he's done. I think that the
guy. Or a hearing a sit, if the opposite is a deficit.
I need to leave. What's the time?
Get out of here. Go away, Gord. Oh, so there we go. Some credit where credit's due. We always knock government, and we always say that the South African government doesn't know what they're doing, and mostly they don't. But here in the city of Joburg, there's one man who seems to know how to get his ass out of his head, or his head out of his ass.
Out of his head.
And actually get things right.
You see, there's 200,000 politicians. There's 200,000 liters of milk on the floor. I dabbed some of it up.
Yeah, a lot of this.
Everybody clap, I dabbed it up.
A lot of this, the 110,000 new jobs, is credited due to the likes of the current administration rolling out what they call opportunity centers. I have to be honest and say I haven't really heard a lot about this. And these are assisting entrepreneurs with crucial skills, and also these centers support the growth of businesses so that these businesses can in turn create job opportunities. So it is this positive ripple effect.
Very good. All right, that's all we got time for. Here's the unnews. And in a moment or two, we're going to speak to Marcus Swanepoel, who's the co-founder and CEO of Luno. You know, we had that that series we did with Luno last year, which was tremendously popular, all about like an idiot's guide to cryptocurrency. So if you don't know who Luno are, we'll definitely get into that with Marcus. We'll speak about his background in business and what he's been up to, and also find out about the future of money. What will money look like, feel like, be useful for in the future? And how will it all work? Well, this is the guy to talk to, so stick around for that and more. Here's the un-news. Tito Mboweni's ANC chums have told him how much money they need to operate for another year, and he must now find a way of paying for it. It's kind of like having a big night out at a fancy restaurant and then being left with the bill as they run away. The only way you can pay the bill is through a crime of some sort, so look to Tito to act accordingly. Karl Lagerfeld's death has caused much sadness in the fashion world. It also signaled the official death of male ponytails. They were officially and universally tolerated purely on the back of Lagerfeld still choosing to have one, but now that he's gone, those still displaying one will be attacked savagely in public by fashionistas.
About damn time.
And after getting thrashed 43 by the Bulls last week, the Stormers have insisted they will wear their Thor jerseys, as they're going to need all the help they can get. Marvel, however, watched them play last weekend and have forbidden them to wear the superhero-themed attire, as they say it would be a gross misrepresentation of Thor and his godlike strengths.
Maybe it's just the spokesperson had a lisp when he said we're Thor this week.
Thank you, Gordon. All right, go home, Gordon. Unbelievable. We will be back in a minute with some interesting stuff that I'm sure you're going to love about the future of money. Stick around for all of that and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com, thanks for joining us for this part of the show this morning. And Sia, any closing words? Anything important that you want to put on the table? I feel you haven't said enough.
No. I have no words. Gord has taken them all.
I'm sorry.
No. Love you, Gord.
Thank you very much. Lots of love. Okay, very good.
Bye, guys.
This is CliffCentral.com.